get this thing started.
Straight up.
So you got the recording going and we're all set. Okay, thanks everyone. Review and approval of the minutes from May 15th. I guess there's three of us so we can do that.
So the minutes are right there behind the agenda.
Corrections? If not, look for a motion to approve.
The minutes as published.
Okay. We have a motion.
Second.
Second. To approve the minutes as published. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same.
So on those minutes, just so you guys know, I don't know if you've ever been to the, or recently been to the Weed Board website. It's underneath Public Works now, and then Weed Management, and then us. The audio and the written minutes are always right there from the last board meeting in case somebody asks.
Okay. I think you're going to be up. Katie, as introduction.
Oh, okay.
Office manager.
Office assistant, but assistant. Correct. Yeah, I am the new office assistant out in vegetation management. If you press 3 on the intercom out there, you'll get me.
Cool.
I started on the 19th of June. And so far, I love it. It's been really fun. I like working with all these people. And I live in Battleground.
Yay.
Yeah. I love it out there, too. And I'm not really sure what else you wanted me to describe about myself here.
Whatever you're comfortable with. It doesn't matter to me.
Oh.
Fess up to everything.
I'm sorry?
Confess to everything.
Oh, I have a Doberman who's adorable. And he's 7 months old, and he just ripped up my couch, so it's unfortunate.
But, great to have puppies.
Yes, but other than that, I'm pretty boring.
All right. Well, welcome aboard, thank you. Yeah.
So do you have to buzz to get through that little, even the little gate?
Yeah, even the walkthrough gate, yeah. Well, to get through the walkthrough gate, you actually have to have the county swipe card.
You have to have a card. Later.
But to get through the drive-through gate, there's a little comm box there, and you hit the button where it says vegetation management, and then it rings to Katie's desk, and then she just lets you through. Like if you need to pick up some twine, or you had some weed identification, or whatever. I think it's not ideal, but we haven't had very many people come through this year. Whereas when we were at Casey Center, we would have usually at least somebody every day that would come out. So it's not ideal, but it's doable once people get used to us being here, I think.
Oh, okay. I'm asking Parks if there's a problem to let me know.
Okay.
Because it's a pain, you know. I mean, so people are kind of, problem is I know, because to get to Parks, so people don't like to go through a locked gate, especially the people that work with this committee. You know, they don't like going as it is. So by the time they go through all that, they're mad. So I'm trying to get the auditor's office to be a little lax on that. So if you can help me out there.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Can you read the scene and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely understand all the vehicles and buildings and everything locked down once we're done for the day. That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
But during business hours, it seems a little overkill.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. And the couple of times I came in, the first time I pressed the button and I didn't get any answer, and then I found out.
Yeah, if there's nobody at our
there
desk.
Was nobody there right now, or took a break, or went to lunch, or whatever.
Right. What are you doing?
And so I was sitting there for a minute, and I think I hit it a couple of times. And then waited. Pretty soon somebody was coming out, the gate opens up, so I drove in.
Yeah.
And went up to the office, nobody around. I think I was stopping in to visit or whatever.
Yeah.
See what's going on. And I left. And then the second time I was down here to pick up some twine.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Which is the first time I knew you had even tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the gate opens up, somebody's coming out, I drive through. I didn't even wait for the button then. So
it's not that secure anyway. Yeah.
Really secure. So it's always open. It's a huge gate.
My mother was sitting out there to pick me up for lunch, and she said the same thing. She watched people go in and out of there for 20 minutes.
So, no, it definitely used work. Like, open. All right, well, thank you, and again, welcome aboard.
Yeah, thank you.
Item three, some update on select weeds. Looks like maybe Casey's going to do all this section.
Yeah, so just some brief items on some of the kind of the more important ones that we have. So slender flower thistle, we continue to have it kind of in that Ridgefield area, the I-5 median between the Battleground exit and the Woodland exit. This year, they did an excellent job actually on their own, the WashDOT crew did. Normally every year we team up, they get the safety trucks out with the attenuators and everything, and we do the weed control while they do the signs and the safety. And this year there was so little of it that between myself and our main contact with WashDOT, Kevin Reese, I pulled over a couple of times in safe spots and hand pulled it when the soil was still moist, and they did the same thing with some spraying. And so we're actually starting to win the battle there. They're doing less mowing, which, depending on your point of view, can be a little bit of an eyesore. But in terms of weed control, that means they're spreading less weeds, because they always mow once the vegetation is dry, so they don't have to mow once. So I think that less mowing is actually going to benefit us long term. I have a meeting with some of the WashDOT guys and their Ray Willard, who's in charge of all of their vegetation programs for their right-of-ways. Next Tuesday, and so we'll talk some more about it. But in general, we're starting to win the battle there. The Richfield Wildlife Refuge is doing a really good job with their slender flower, and we didn't have anybody there's about a dozen private parcels that have it, and they all did their control work this year, so good year for that. Milk thistle, in general, is mostly kind of in that Vancouver Lake area for the most part. It can kind of stretch up into Ridgefield. And there's a couple of isolated spots kind of along Padden. The CLT is Columbia Land Trust, and they now have what they call Crane's Landing, which was a fair amount of the Port of Vancouver property just downstream of the Flushing Channel. So all that kind of in between the Flushing Channel and Frenchman's Bar. That's now all being managed by Columbia Land Trust now. Mm. And talking to their person, Dan Fries, he said that in a week period of time, he sprayed over 1,000 poison hemlock plants and 500 milk thistle plants. Wow. So they had a lot down there, and they were really getting after it. They're doing a lot of that. I'm not sure. I need to talk to them more. I don't know if they're still going to have corn crops for cattle feed, or if they're just kind of doing strips there. They're still going to have crops, but it needs to be geared towards winter crane habitat. So I'm not sure exactly how they're going to manage that. But they're taking care of the weeds and
is that why they have the strips there?
Yeah, I guess the theory behind that. I did talk to him about that. Everybody's okay with Canada geese, but I guess the Canada geese want just an open field that's kind of just all one crop. They want it to be a large space where they can see really well. Geese will have like guards on the edge of the flock.
Yeah.
And so I guess if they break it up with those strips, the geese won't go into those areas, and so then the cranes have that food in that area. So
I get it.
Yeah, so that's why they're doing it. And I'm not sure what those strips are. I didn't ask them. I don't know what the crop is, but so that's that. So milk thistle's gone pretty well. The wild chervil, that's something that we were talking about a couple of times ago. I think January, you're talking about there's some out there at the base of the road where you are.
Right, right.
We've had quite a bit on Yakwell Mountain area, so Kelly, Gabriel, and Garner for several years now. Hmm. And so last fall, I started doing some herbicide experiments on it. We continue that this year. We got all of Kelly and Gabriel sprayed, but we didn't get much on Garner going into Yakwell, so we didn't get all of it. It's one of those carrot family ones that comes out early in the spring, and if you don't get to it kind of before it flowers, where it starts losing the leaves, you know, then you don't really have any green to spray anymore, so we didn't quite get to all of it. But we did a pretty good number on that. So poison hemlock, we had just a crazy amount this year. I'm suspecting it's partly because we had a fairly mild, consistent temperature, but we also had a lot of rain kind of staggered throughout the spring and the summer. And so I think it just, we had several germination cycles with the poison hemlock because we were wrapping up, you know, poison hemlock and then maybe a parcel or two down there, stuff that's only 3 feet tall and hasn't even flowered yet. And so we had kind of a long season with that. So our map of where the poison hemlock is in the county was pretty extensive this year. But for the most part, everybody got it down. We even tracked down a couple of guys. One guy I got a hold of when he was about ready to get it on an airplane in a airstrip almost in the Arctic Circle. And he said, hey, you got to get rid of your poison hemlock. You know, and it was down by English Pitt. He owns one of the properties down. Remember, we were talking about that.
Yep.
And he called one of his business partners, and he came up from Portland or whatever, and they took care of it.
So. Right.
Sometimes you're successful with those, not always, but
that's pretty good.
And then tansy, I probably don't have to tell you guys about that. It's everywhere. I have my suspicions for why that is. Tansy is fairly cyclical. It'll get worse and worse over years, even as people are controlling it. The cinnabar moth population follows that, you know, 2 or 3 years behind, and finally that gets big enough. I think, unfortunately, we're kind of in an upswing with the tansy. As far as our right, so as a field inspection program, we always make sure that we've got our right of way, our zone 2 and 3 tansy controlled, because it's, you know, hypocritical if we're telling them to do it and we're not doing ours.
We're
a little bit behind in that aspect because the last couple of years we've been using a DOC crew to do that right of way pulling, and last Monday was going to be our first day, and they got called out to that fire over in White Salmon.
And I
wasn't able to get a hold of them this morning either, so I think they're still over there. So we've been using 2 temporary employees in a rollover vehicle, one of the old Jeeps, and they've been going around, and they're getting about 9-10 bags pulled per day, and that's with pulling it, you know, cutting off the flower heads and then just leaving the stem, you know, there, because it's in the rock.
Do you treat that once they cut the flower off?
We've been bagging it, yeah. Well, they've been just pulling the entire plant
entire plant.
Now that it's starting to get real dry and those clay areas are just going to be like baked like pottery, they're not going to be able to pull them. So,
I was pulling some the other day, and most of it yellow flowers, but I had one that had white petals on it with a yellow flower.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I don't know why that would be.
I was wondering if it's male, female, or what, but it stood right out.
Huh. That's interesting. I haven't seen that with tansy yet.
Yeah. Starting to mutate.
Yeah, sometimes you'll see that with Canada thistle or some of the knapweeds, where you'll just get a couple of plants that are white instead of purple. But that's interesting, you saw it with the tansy. Huh.
Now, one year I had so much, I went through with some kids and they cut it off.
Yeah.
And we must have done it towards the end of August, I would say. But it started to head out again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if there's any soil moisture, it'll do it again. And it will with the cinnabar moth, too. We got a lot of calls for that this year, and I explained, well, it's good if we have it. If it's there, great, let them do the thing. But it's really just like having your plants mowed one time, and it's just going to grow again. So it doesn't kill the plant. But, I mean, it's
better. We've been pulling it, if we see the caterpillars, we've been leaving those plants there.
Yeah, perfect, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's some just little baby ones out there the other day.
Yeah.
And then there's some big ones, too.
And I don't know if, like I said, the same thing I'm suspecting with the hemlock, where we just had a long wet period there, and so the germination was staggered. Yeah, that's my guess.
Moths.
Now those moths.
Oh, okay.
How does that work? Do they? I seen them in this one draw of mine, real thick, and now I got a lot of caterpillars. But do they lay the eggs on the tansy or something? How does it get to the caterpillar?
Yeah. So right there at the base of the plant. Yeah.
That moth will lay eggs.
Yeah.
And then they germinate, and you end up with the caterpillar.
Yeah, and so, like I was saying, the reason it's behind by a couple of years is, you know, 30 years ago when it was really, the tansy was really bad around here, you don't know how many calls I've gotten where people are, hey, are you doing anything about tansy? Because I spent my entire childhood pulling tansy. Oh, yeah. I just want to make sure you guys haven't forgotten about it. We've gotten several of those calls. But what happens is with, you know, the word that was out and everybody hand-pulling it, but also with the moth populations, when they were releasing them all over the place, when they were first available, and then the tansy populations, you know, slowly went down, and so then the moths all died out, and so it just takes a while for that to come out. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying it's cyclical, and I'm hoping that we're not. I think we're starting an upswing where it's going to be getting worse for a few years. That's why we sent out the letter that I showed you guys in January, where all of the people where we did a report on Tansy last year, we sent out that letter and said, hey, you know, it's going to be bad again this year. Thanks to those who controlled it last year. For those who didn't, you know, we really need to do it. Let your neighbors know, you know, that sort of thing. We didn't put anything in the paper this year. I thought about it, but I suspect that not too many people really read the paper anymore. And so I'm trying to find the best way to get out to the entire county. Hey, you know, 2018 is going to be another bad Tansy year. So if you guys let me know, I thought about maybe bulletin boards on, you know, grocery stores or you know, city halls or whatever. But I don't know. Yeah, Facebook maybe. Yeah, I mean, that might
social
help.
Media anymore.
I don't have one, but my mom has one. She's constantly on it.
I know in our area we get a flyer from the fire department. Now could you get into that?
We could. We could do an inexpensive like mass mailer. Yeah, kind of those areas where it's the most crucial.
Get it included.
I mean, included into the fire department's mail.
Oh, maybe. Possibly.
Good. Or sort of informational page, but I
can
read it.
What district are you in for fire district? What district are you in for the fire district?
He's way up there in Schlesinger.
Yeah. What fire district?
Fire
10?
District 10 is.
Yeah.
We could also, we partner with CPU on various projects. In fact, the NOTBE project on East Fork this year. And CPU will oftentimes have a little educational blurb in there, so maybe we could piggyback on that next year.
Their
that's a possibility.
Monthly billing thing that they do.
In the neighborhoods
get everybody.
Yeah, that gets everybody.
That go out 3 times a year.
Okay, neighborhood associations. So,
yeah.
PUD sends an informational note out with every one of their bills.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, that's what PUD. Yeah. CPU.
And I don't know if you can do it temporary, but some of those road signs, I think, do quite well. People read them, you know, like they do for running for a political office, but do a 4x8 sheet that we can use year after year.
Just Tansy, yeah.
You know, control Tansy, it's that time of year or something.
Yeah, that's a really good idea because everybody drives. Everybody's going to see
it. You put it on 503 closer to Battleground or South, you know, a couple primary spots.
Yeah.
Leave it up for a month or whatever.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea.
May or may not need permits, I don't know. But,
you need a permit.
You know, or get it on private property.
Yeah, county right away.
County right away for that. Yeah.
Like I could talk to the mowers, they won't mow over.
Yeah,
mow around it.
Just
put them up everywhere.
Yeah, they put them up everywhere and they're allowed for a while.
Yeah. Last year, a few years ago when we were cleaning out one of the old storage sheds, I found some old road signs, kind of about the size of a normal speed limit sign. That had, I think it says, good neighbors control noxious weeds, and then it had Clark County Noxious Weed Control Board, but with a really old number, long before I was here. And so we had the sign guys put up 4 of them. So there's one now by Heisen Bridge, there's one by, I can't remember the 4 different spots. There's one over by where Lakeshore goes by Salmon Creek.
One just north of 179th and 10th.
Yeah,
right
yeah.
On that Noel.
Well, that's the big one.
Oh, yeah,
we got
the
that
big
one from
one.
The state.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, these are
a little
smaller.
Oh,
there's one out of Fern Prairie. Yeah. So we put those up, but but specific to Tansy, that's a good idea. And it wouldn't have to be a permanent sign, like you said. It wouldn't be that expensive.
No, you can do those foam cores maybe, and they'll get a couple of years out of them, or even plywood, but foam core would be the cheap one.
We'll try that next year. That's a good idea.
Do we encourage people just to pull weeds like in the right of way?
No, well, some people, not many. There's about a dozen or two that have an agreement with us that they're going to maintain the right of way, and it's because they're anti-herbicide. But other than that, we don't really encourage
it. I was in a neighborhood, I can't remember what it was. So we have a lot more Tansy grown in, you know, between the sidewalk and the curb, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know why we have that, but we have it. So there's a lot of Tansy grown up there. And the neighbors were, of course, yelling at the county. You know, I said, "Well, we don't have enough to do that." I said, "Why don't you do it yourself?" I said, "Oh, we'd love to, but we didn't, because there was a prohibition about pulling it." I said, "There's stinking weed."
Yeah, go for it. Yeah. And in some of those areas, I don't know about the more developed areas, but and the county does the maintenance for the county right away, but. Technically, legally, the property owner still owns that. They can they can do what they want, really. If it's safe. So this last one, I tucked a couple of sheets in your folder there, is a little bit less known, absinthe wormwood. Mm-hmm. It's one of the class seaweeds that in the first meeting of the year we bumped up to being one that we're keeping an eye on and making sure we control. The first spot I saw it at was near an old barn on the East Fork, not too far downstream from the Daybreak shed. And then I've seen it twice down in the Vancouver Lake area. It's a pretty unusual looking, and it looks a little bit more like something you'd see in the shrub step area of pass that down to Mark, please. On the east side of the state, and it has kind of that sagey kind of a smell to it. It is toxic to people, though. It's one of those where if you're one of those people that likes to experiment with drugs, absinthe is one of those that people will try to take this absinthe wormwood and turn it into a something to drug yourself with, you know. So it's not something we want around. I mean, you know, it's the same reason we go after poison hemlock and some of the other ones.
Yeah.
So it should be self-controlled by people.
Well, yeah, there could be a little bit of a there could be a little bit of a Darwin Award situation.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's just something to keep an eye on. And then I just
had you should advertise it that way and it would disappear. You have to get it out to the right group.
Yeah.
Put it closer to Mary Jane's or someone.
I tried that years ago. I was working for DNR and I tried that with one of the inmate work crews. We were pulling scotch broom and they hated it. And I was trying to figure out a way to make it more interesting for them. And they asked, why are you pulling scotch broom? And I says, well, because, you know, the root, I mean, this root, you can very easily turn it into a hallucinogenic drug. I just totally made it up, right? And they're like, great. They were pulling it like crazy. You could hear them talking about how when they got out of prison, they were going to make a business out of it and everything. Pull all you want, fellas, you know. I'm not sure that was the right thing to do. But. And then I just was wondering, I put on here, just are there any weeds that you guys have been seeing that you're curious about getting more information about, or just something that you've seen that's, you know, where you haven't, this year you noticed a lot more of it than in years past? Or?
The only one, yesterday we went around with pulling tansy, went on all the fence rows. Yeah. Got one pocket I seen this morning. I told the helper, I said, I got about 400 plants, about 40 plants in a blueberry patch. And he said, oh, okay, I'll go get them. He said, and come back. He said, 40. It was closer to 400.
It's a little ugly this year.
On that wild shrill, is that, I made several trips to the east side lately, and over there around, Dixie, Dayton area along the creek there, there's a big plant. Reminds me of that. I mean, huge.
Possibly.
Big area. I was just curious if it's on the east side quite a bit. Didn't you say that?
I'm not sure, but I can ask around. Where it first became a problem was Vermont, New Hampshire, and kind of going up into Ontario.
Okay.
It seems to like moist soil. That's so if you saw it on the east side, it would be, you know, it would need to be kind of a riparian kind of a situation. So but
between Waitsburg and Dayton, there's I think it's a little state park area in there. You drive along in that two-lane road, and then there's a huge patch in this kind of moist area. And
it's possible.
Like I say, I'm clipping along, but it sure looked similar to the couple of bushes I found this year, but without stopping.
I wouldn't be surprised if it could get spread fairly easy in hay, contamination in hay.
Last year I got a letter from Kara, and you said this year she went back and she saw some more water hemlock there, but I didn't get the letter, but we sprayed it. The day after she took the picture, I didn't know she'd take it, or she'd been out there, but had HFI come in with her. Gator, they were doing some spraying next door, and I had them spread. All there is, and actually I'm going to disc it today, but there's some skeletons there.
Oh, okay.
The plants. I mean, it killed them.
Yeah, it'll stay standing.
You've still got a skeleton, and it's all dead.
Is HFI, is that the same homie that does the forestry stuff?
Yes.
Okay, I was wondering, because I've been seeing the signs. So.
Yeah.
I thought maybe it was a relative or something.
No. Yeah, it does the forestry and does construction area roundup. You know, they want to turn around and kill grasses out before so it works out better.
Okay.
And, but yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Nice guy.
it's good to have those guys. There's not a lot of guys that do spray work in fields and stuff. It's mostly mowers.
They had some rough terrain. They had some really rough terrain to go over. It's one of the roughest fields they'd ever been on. And next door there where they had been doing construction and got wet last fall. And getting stuck with cats and everything else.
That does rough it up.
But he went over and sprayed the whole thing. He got articulated like a gator, but it isn't a gator. It's something else. It's got an independent suspension on it, and a 100 gallon tank on it. And nice. He goes over everything.
Nice.
Wow. There's a property off of La Frambois Road that's right next to the state fishing game. It's owned by the port. You can't see it from Lower River Road, but you can from La Frambois. And every year we call the port guys, and they've got tansy and thistle there real bad, and they get out and mow it. A couple of years they got out a little bit too late and kind of spread the seed around, but it's one of those where it was raspberry rose. And then it just went fallow, and then port inherited it or whatever. And so they're out there with their tractor, and they're doing this. And I said, why don't you guys just round up the whole thing and disc it and start over? And all right, it's your back. I mean, it's your neck getting bobbled around like a bobblehead on that tractor.
Or at least go the other way.
Yeah.
Go with
all the rows.
Yeah, instead of crossbreed.
All right. Civil infractions?
Okay, yeah. So none so far. Like I said, we got close on three properties with the poison hemlock, and it ended up two of them did the control work, and the other one did it. They sprayed really late, but it's one of those where, well, they did try, kind of a thing, and you're not gonna find somebody if they've tried to do, as best they could. I mean, they sprayed everything, but our suspicion is they sprayed, the seed had already probably matured. It was on some new dirt piles there, fill dirt piles, and so we'll keep an eye on it and go after that one next year. But so none so far. I suspect that we may end up with about a dozen or so on tansy compared to just the three parcels we had last year that were all the same landowner. It wouldn't surprise me if we get to a dozen or so this year. So just be aware that you might have a few people upset at us. You never know whether or not they'll want to come in and have be able to argue their case in front of you guys. So
if they try, you don't send the letter out.
If they make a legitimate effort, I mean, it not the hey, we did it the 20 feet we thought you could see from the road, and the rest of the 20 acres is solid yellow. Not that kind of thing. But if they tried to follow our instructions,
he mows the field, looks really good, but it's just thick along the fence lines and stuff where you can't mow.
Oh, okay. He just doesn't want to get out there with a weed eater or spray.
He's not able to get around. Oh, you might have seen it the other day up there.
I did not pay attention right now.
It just passed Hadler's.
And
that, a lot of it.
That type of thing, we'll get a hold of him and say, hey, thanks for doing, the 80% of it that you did do. Here's what, here's the best plan of attack. And we'll try to give him some tips and that sort of thing. But we have a guy that's kind of upset at us way up on Aetna Road right now. He has a really nice piece of property, and he maintains it really well. And his neighbor has, in the past, not done, their control work. And so last year I started working with a neighbor through correspondence. I've never talked to him in person because locked gate, that sort of thing. I'm not going to get in there, Haven't been able to come up with a phone number. This year he did, went through, and he got on a tractor, and he mowed it, and he missed, 10% of it. Well, the neighbor is upset that he didn't do it all, and he wants me to fine him. And I'm saying, well, yeah, but he got 90% of it. This is year one. We'll continue to work with him. We sent him a letter and said, hey, thanks for doing that. Please try to get all of it. You have some fairly moist soil, so it's going to come up again, so make sure you mow a second time. That sort of thing. You want to try to build up a relationship so it's getting better over time. And if you find somebody that did 80% of it, you're going to end up with a lot of upset people, So it's one of those deals where you're trying to improve. So year three and year four, you've got to where you want it to be, So otherwise, Mark would be getting a lot of phone calls. not just you guys.
Yeah. I remember when a neighbor used to actually help another neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was those days.
You don't know how many neighbor complaints, Hatfield and McCoy situations. It's amazing.
But,
And I try not to get into them. I don't even mention where I hurt. I don't
I'm not going to say your neighbor, right? I just don't even, it's not worth it.
If I was at a place yesterday and then one guy was complaining about the neighbor, I said, well, you can call the county and look across your fence.
Right.
But I said, they'll know where it came from. You already said that one time.
Yep.
Weed free?
Yeah, so I was hoping for some feedback on this, and it could be, you know, you guys should think about it, an email or a call later, but we haven't had even half the weed-free inspection request this year as we had the last couple of years. Now, I suspect, again, it's that same thing where they didn't have the opportunity this spring to go out and spray. And so they probably knew their fields weren't going to pass the inspection, so they didn't call us. That's my suspicion.
Are we too late?
Well, no, they can do a second cut. I mean, we can do the inspection whenever they want to cut. It can be hay. It can be straw. We do a lot of wheat straw, mostly for Dobbins, but, you know, for a couple other guys. You know, we've made it so a lot easier. The twine is here now. Yeah. We really, you know, I sent out that letter that really spelled out, you know, what you need to do, and so there's not really any confusion. The cost is down. So I'm hoping it's just the weather, and it's not that maybe people got discouraged over the last couple of years. It might be a little bit of both. But so I was just looking for suggestions for next year. Maybe if you guys, know people that put up hay anyway, and if it's just a matter of getting out there and spraying it one time, then they could go from that to weed-free hay just kind of spread the word maybe a little bit.
That weed-free hay is a certain color or strain?
It is, yeah. It's a purple and gold color, purple and yellow, yeah.
Because I know some people, they'll buy a couple bales and then they'll save the string, put it on the other bale when they go in the Forest Service.
And there's, you know, on our end, there's not much we can do about that. We're just the ones inspecting the fields, but yeah, I know that happens.
They've been feeding their horse regular up to local stuff right up to the day they go to the forest, and they throw a few bales in the trailer, but it's certified hay. But your horse is still
that first day is all
manuring out weeds. But that's nothing we can do.
That I need to turn on plastic straw.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I need to talk to you today about that.
Get an inspection. Sounds good.
290 acres.
Oh, good.
So, and actually, Matt went in to spray, or Jay did yesterday, and I called this morning. I said, what was he spraying for yesterday? The weed, there are no weeds. It's clean, but they're spraying for aphids.
Oh, what kind of crop is it?
It's barley.
Oh.
Well, that's the only thing you could put in this spring.
Yeah,
it was barley because it was so damn late that you could. The only thing that would mature in the time, so it's up and headed all out now. So it'll start turning, but the aphids are just thick in it. So normally they never spread.
And as far as the hay, I know I had a lot of trouble trying to spray. You know, I concentrate on the edges because that's where everything comes in, and then that, especially that oxeye daisy.
Yeah.
Comes up late. Well, I've got 2 feet of grass already, and then the daisy starts showing up, or you'll see one or two flowers. But you get out there, you think, well, I'll go pick those, and then here's all these little green buds all over the place, or in patches. And so I never did get out and boom spray anything this year. It was spot spraying and then just driving over the grass when I'd see a patch.
Yeah, I suspect that happened a lot for people this year.
And I think that's probably an issue, because it was debatable on. I know I let a couple of fields go when Seal was out. I don't have time to go out there and pick all that. And it's too late to spray.
How much is this wine?
It is, I'm probably going to misquote it. I know it's $12 less than last year because there's no shipping.
Right.
Yeah. I want to say 28.
You know, I didn't even, I just got it.
I'll have to look that up. I'll have to look that up for you.
Yeah, it was.
So we don't do the billing through our office. It's still a check you would send to the state, since we're just basically holding it here and making it more easily available.
But without the freight, it was reasonable. I mean, I won't pay the freight. So.
And what I did, Dobbins is going to pick up 30 rolls of twine here for all of that. I think it's fescue seed. I think that he does.
Huh? Oh, that's right across the street from the fire station there.
They got that down. So he's going to pick up 30 rolls, but even at that, we have enough. And I was talking with the ladies up there at the state, and if we do get low on any of the particular knot strengths, we can just drive up there with a trailer, load up with their stuff and then come back, and we could still avoid the shipping stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and that way we could just get a bunch at once.
Absorb a little fuel cost, but it makes the program work, though. Right. That's the main thing. Okay.
That is that. You said 30 balls. Is it balls or is it packages of two?
Yes, it would be 15 packages. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, so it would be 15 packages, two in each one.
Okay.
There's, we have three knot strengths here, and I believe two of them are two rolls to a box, and the other one is just one roll to a box. Okay, so it kind of depends on your
three strength.
Yeah.
Okay. Letter to the counselors?
Oh, yeah. So this came up in the last meeting. I didn't actually put a letter together yet. Because it would be more of your guys, but it was actually suggested. We were talking about us being in public works now, and you know, not wanting to get kind of lost in that shuffle. And then it started from a conversation about that that survey that you guys had the opportunity to take as board members. With the Kevin was talking about the there's a specific type of budgeting process where they're trying to be more
priority-based
budgeting. Yeah. So it came out as part of that discussion, and it was brought up that it wouldn't be a bad idea to just, you know, put a letter together for the BOCC that said, you know, hey, you know, this is what the weed board does, this is what vegetation weed management field inspectors do. It's good that their program is, you know, their program is important, you know, that sort of thing. So it wouldn't be a bad idea to put a few bullet points together and do a letter like that. Another thing that we were talking about last winter, I think at the December meeting, was the possibility of getting a kind of like a work session with the BOCC, and that way we could, you know, make ourselves more familiar to everybody. I mean, you know, Mark, I mean, knows what we do, but maybe the other counselors
out there.
So
okay.
So I'll just maybe put some bullet points out, email it to you guys, and if you guys have some suggestions, then I could put together something, and obviously you guys would review it. It would be, you know, your names on it. So.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
One thing that, and something to consider for the future of the program, there are, I think, three counties in the state, King County being the most well-known, where they ask for, of course, they have an assessment, and we don't, so there's a difference there. You know, in terms of how much they have for their program, but they'll ask for a certain amount of funds, and then the actual county employees underneath the weed board will do all the Class A weeds. And the reason they do that, I've been thinking more and more about that, and I think it's actually a really good idea. The reason it is because, like, let's take garlic mustard, for example, as a Class A weed. We have it Salmon Creek area, and we have it in the Washougal Camas area. And we've been trying as hard as we can to get people to understand that this is something that, if once it gets into the wooded area, we're in trouble. It's going to end up being one of those that really takes over. And so we're trying to avoid that. Well, there's always going to be that 10% that you don't see.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying. And then there's going to be that 10% of landowners who just really don't want to cooperate with you. And maybe they do it too late and the seed is ripened, or they don't do it at all in the areas that you can't see and that sort of thing. Whereas if it was a program more similar to the knotweed program, where we say, hey, we have this money available, we will come and do the work for you. If you really, really are opposed to herbicide, we can do it, you know, with a mechanical method or whatever. And that way the Class A weeds, the ones that, where there's not that many of them anyway, don't end up becoming something that's a really big problem 10 years later. It's a cost efficiency. We would end up spending less money doing the weed control for them on these small populations than we do trying to get them to do it and then fighting it for the next 30 years. So it's something to consider. I don't know if that would mean that we would need to ask for an assessment, or if it would be more of, hey, can we get kind of a, I know there's no guarantees, but can we get kind of a semi-guaranteed amount of the general fund to avoid an assessment? It's just something to consider. I think long-term, it's actually a more efficient way of doing it.
Kind of like healthcare. All the providers are going to preventative maintenance.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I'll actually get emails from
tests. Yeah, they got to pay the doctor to have the test, but they find out early rather than afterwards, and then it's a major.
Yeah.
And it's a minor, so. and it's the same way with repairing equipment. So I think,
yeah, do it ahead of time or break down. County Fair.
Okay.
It's that time of year.
Yeah, so I'll pass this around. Just kind of take a look at your calendars. Obviously, you don't need to sign up for it today, but he's going to be there anyway.
Yeah, I'm there.
Jerry's going to be. You still doing some of the emceeing at the?
Do all the emceeing at every the shows. So
the way that the
you're busy.
He'll be there every day anyway. Yeah. So Randy, how this works is this is just volunteer only. It's not like you need to sign up for a shift, but if you can, it'd be great. Obviously, we wouldn't. It's not a lamb to the slaughter thing. We're not going to just leave you there in the booth by yourself. You know, it's something that you have to kind of get used to, you know, talking to the public about. But if you guys can work a three-hour shift, that'd be great. I think one of the good aspects of it is so that when people come by, they're seeing, you know, the farmer in the field, not the government worker. You know, we're always going to have the government shirt on and that sort of thing, which is good, so they know who we are. But since the weed board does help drive what we do, that's good for them to see you guys out there. Mark came by work last year.
It's a fun booth.
Yeah. It's usually busy. We usually get a lot of people there.
That whole building gets, it's a good traffic way through.
Yeah.
So we can contact you later on this.
You're going to need to look at your schedule. Yeah. You always got to ask the wife, you know, that sort of thing. But
here, sign up.
Take a picture of what's on there already so you know what's already been taken. But like I said, you can come by, you can sign up for any time. It doesn't matter if we've already got some
and
people.
You give them a pass and a parking pass, right?
Yeah.
There's no cost as far as out of pocket that one.
Yeah, you don't have to pay for parking.
Parking.
One thing that some people do is they pick the night where they want to watch the concert, and then work the night shift right before the concert and then walk over. So that's totally fine. You can do that too.
That all works.
Oh yeah.
So if there's anybody
in a lot of groups,
yeah,
you volunteer for
the morning shift,
including the fair board. They volunteer at certain days or whatever. They're there, but
want to see a certain concert.
Yeah, they want to see a certain concert, so they make sure they're not working a shift.
I saw that they're just doing concerts for just like 5, 4. Yeah, that's a little bit less than normal, right? Yeah.
No, well, we tried 5 for a couple of years, but this way we went back and we picked up. Let's see, what did we do? We changed the motorized events.
Oh, okay.
And we still start out with a rodeo right afterwards because we tear up the ground after the concerts. But we did 4, 2 were sold out.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Yeah, they must be. Because one was sold out last Tuesday, Monday night. We had the fair board. One was sold out. The other one had 10 or 15 tickets left.
Nice.
And I presume it's sold out. And then a couple more that are bouncing along real good this year. So those two sold out, just those little chairs down below, actually paid for some of the concerts.
Nice.
So, which is what we hope for. So anyway, it's going to be a good show.
If a drummer gets sick or something, you're going to fill in on drums after you do the emceeing?
Yeah. It's like me trying to sing. New. Yeah. Long time ago, I told him no jokes and no singing. So.
Now, one thing that I was going to put on the agenda, but I didn't. There's a new toxic plants booklet from the state. I helped edit it, so if there's mistakes, you can blame me. There's a lot of good information here. It's both horses and cattle. Obviously, not every single plant that has the potential to be toxic is going to be able to get in a pamphlet or a booklet. But it's pretty good information in there. Like all first editions, like all first editions, even though we had several editors on it, I'm sure we missed stuff. So if you guys happen to notice anything that's everything from a typo to just something that just doesn't seem quite right, just let us know.
Okay, great.
This will be one of those things that we'll have at the fair booth and people can
have this.
They can be available for people.
I have a hunch that's going to be really popular.
Yeah,
when they see horses on the front.
Yeah, yeah,
definitely.
In fact, I think this. I'm pretty sure this same photo is on one of the handout magnets that we have too for people. You know, put on their fridge and give them a little reminder.
Nice.
I noticed some of that lupin in some of my hay, 5 or 6 plants.
Yeah.
Now, how much before it will poison an animal.
Yeah, it has to be a fair amount more than that. I mean, all parts of the lupin have a mild amount of toxicity, but it's actually the seeds in the seed pod that are the most. So if you're cutting before the seed pods are out, you're fine, really. But even at that, they would have to be consistently.
And for me, getting
on that,
I think I got it from a neighbor.
Oh, probably, yeah.
But the cow eats it, the manure goes out.
Yeah.
And that's where you got it from, or is it blowing like a tansy?
No, it's a heavier seed. Yeah, it would be manure or farm equipment, you know, things like that. Almost all of our lupins here are native, and so it's not, I mean, they're toxic to livestock, which is a bad thing, but they're just kind of in the landscape naturally, and so it's not something you would ever get, you know, target to get rid of, except for in those pastures and hay fields. But like I said, they would have to consume a fair amount of it. I mean, a few plants.
When I see it come up, I do spray it.
Yeah, yeah. There's
go out to the hay field to get one or two plants.
There's a field right off of 502 that was this spring just had just lupin and tall buttercup like crazy, and they've got their horses out there grazing it, and both of those are, you know, in quantity are quite toxic. The buttercup actually more so. And they just wouldn't respond. And then now there's a bunch of tansy out there. So now we have something we could actually force them to do it for. Yeah. But even tansy, when it's just standing in the field green, most animals won't eat it. It's once it's in the hay that it's usually the problem.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's the case again with the lupin and the tall lupin. The buttercups actually lose their toxicity once they've dried out.
Huh.
And most animals won't eat them even when they're green.
Right,
so it's not usually an issue. But
get down to a starvation type mode, then they'll eat the green one. Or I noticed, or in years past, you just tell them once you spray it, it changes the way they want to eat it. You know, it starts to dry up a little bit sometimes.
Like
then they'll go after it, or maybe the chemical attracts it to them. So they have to be a little careful that way. But
we try to tell people that about the tansy too. And most people end up just either pulling or mowing tansy. Yeah. There's not a lot of people that do a lot of spraying. Pulling is actually the most effective, and then spraying, and then of course mowing, you're just turning it into a perennial. But we try to tell people that hey, if you do spray it and it's standing there in your field, those animals that weren't interested in it before, maybe. So you kind of watch it. If they are starting to eat it, you are going to have to go out there and get rid of that stuff.
Yeah. So just as well do it.
Yeah. Is this the Washington State amendment?
Yeah, put up with Washington State, yep.
And do you give this out at the fair?
We got a couple of boxes of these, and we'll have them available. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling maybe we should have gotten more than a couple of boxes. We'll see. We'll see how fast they go, but that could be a pretty hot item.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other items from the board for Casey or the group?
And we
flipped through.
We made good time. 50 minutes. Wow.
Nice.
I almost feel like you didn't earn your donuts. I'm not sure.
Well, we didn't.
We only had one each.
No. Oh, okay. Well,
no.
Yeah. Oh, did you
speak for yourself?
Okay. I guess I was. All right.
Yeah, so. But just let us know if you're. I mean, we try to pay attention to the new stuff coming in. But if you guys just happen to see something, hey, I haven't noticed that before, then let us know. We can go out so we can identify it. And it's always good to jump on stuff early. You know, if you're sitting there having coffee at McDonald's and somebody says, hey, I had this weird plant in my field this year. I don't know what it is. And, you know, just let us know. That's what we're here for.
So. Cool. I'll skip down to the next.
For Andy, I've always been curious about that lupin because I would see some that would show up here or there.
Yeah.
But I did see one calf. And I remember one time, we don't have much in our area around there at all. But
I should have brought one because I got off and pulled one stem when I was mowing. And I put it in the freezer. I was going to bring it. And then everybody told me it's lupin, so I thought, well, I'm not even going to bring it. You know? So I should have brought it, make sure it was a lupin.
But I remember seeing one calf one time where it was, like, in that picture.
Yeah. I had one once years and years ago that might have been that. Because I've had a bush or two out in those hay fields, you know, and we've sprayed it every time we see it. But then you miss one or whatever. This year I had two big patches that I got sprayed. I just rolled out there and saturated
it. Funny how it comes that way.
Yeah,
I mean, you said the seeds are heavy, so they'll patch up and it just keeps you growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in a
patch. Mine's still freezing, so I'll save it for December.
Yeah. There you go.
I had another guy last night bring It was on, by a sidewalk, but it's a flat-looking plant. Got quite a root system on it. It had a like a seed right at the bottom of it. And the guy said that was a seed, but he didn't know what it was, and I should have taken that from him and brought it in.
Sounds like something.
It was on the root system?
Yeah.
And he said,
don't take care of it, then it just starts spreading wider and wider. Yeah.
That's a nutlet or a corm. Some of our weeds have that, which is makes them really tough to control because the herbicides won't touch that at all. It'll kill the root, but that nutlet or corm will stay, and it's still viable. Yeah. So, I mean, nut sedge is the most common one that has it around here, but there are other plants that do.
Okay. Next meeting is December 4th, 9 o'clock at Monday, December 4th.
Back at B1, the big one over there.
Mm-hmm. All right. You'll send a note out, I'm sure, ahead of time anyway. So.
And like I said, if we do end up here in the next couple of weeks, ended up with some, you know, some civil infraction type stuff for the Tansy, I'll keep you guys updated.
Email or whatever.
Not only so that you're not surprised if, you know, somebody starts getting angry at us, but also sometimes it might be somebody you know and they just need a little extra push, you know, and if that's the case, it's just to say, hey, I know that guy, I'll talk to him, you know, that's helpful too.
So. We can do that.
We don't want to find people if we don't have to. It's not.
We should like to be called on that one on Bickham Farm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how did that ever...
Yeah, he ended up being cooperative and he may have sprayed some of it a little late, but he knows what it is now.
Yeah.
I think I told you that what he was most upset about was that when she stepped out of her county truck, the first thing she said is that she's going around inspecting properties. And I think she was saying that so that he wouldn't feel isolated.
So that
he wasn't being picked up. And what he thought that meant was that she was inspecting other chicken farms. And since he goes all organic and doesn't use antibiotics and stuff, he wanted to get out of there in case that she, her boots or whatever were infected.
Oh, I see.
Hard to say if that was really what it was or if he was just being a jerk. It's hard to say. But he did go out and do it. So, and we'll have to get on him earlier for next year. Because that was slender flower. That was the slender flower thistle we were talking about. And he did spray it. Some of it may be a little late, but we'll have to get after it next year.
Okay.
All right.
We can visit away, but I'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting for official records and carry on from there.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.